We continue our learning. We are in Chulin Perek Zayin Mishnah Hey. Gid Hanasha is Bashel im Hagidim. You have a case where the Gid Hanasha was cooked together in a pot with other sinews that are not forbidden, other nerves or arteries or veins, all mixed together, maybe other things in the pot as well, making a pot of soup. You have vegetables in the soup. So the Mishnah says, so what do I do? How do I know whether this mixture is going to be permitted or the other Gidim are permitted? Maybe the Gid Hanasha, assuming we hold Yesh Beginim Beno Saint Tam, imparted taste into the whole mixture. So the Mishnah says, Bizman Shem Akiro, in a case where you recognize the Gid Hanasha, so that of course you remove the Gid Hanasha, and then Beno Saint Tam. So then whatever left in the pot, we assume that if it imparted, there was a ratio where it was able to impart flavor. We know our classic 1 to 60. So the total volume in the permitted gidim, the not in the ganasha, and the other ingredients made that may be in the pot. It is, besides the, obviously the ganasha, if it's less than 60 times as much as the volume of the Gid Hanasha, so then the Gid Hanasha, we assume, gave taste to the whole pot, and the whole thing is going to be, everything in the pot is going to be forbidden. If it's not no same time, you have 1 in 60, 1 in 61, etc., towards ratio to the Gid Hanasha, so then it's going to be permitted. But the Imlav, which means I can't distinguish the Gid Hanasha from the others. The first case was Shemakiro. I know where the Gid Hanasha is. I take it out. Now I want to know. Okay, Beno Saint Tam. But in this case, what if you cannot recognize the Gid Hanasha from amongst the other Gidim that may be there? So then you can't eat any of the Gidim that are there because there are, that maybe whatever I'm eating, maybe the Gid Hanasha itself. And if you'll say, but what happened to the rule of Rove? So we had this in the past. We Gid Hanasha is considered a barrier, an entire entity, an entire creature, and therefore the rule of Bittul will not apply. So therefore I can't eat any of the Gidim that are there because I can't recognize the Gid Hanasha or the Yidim Arasur. But what about the soup? What about the rest of the ingredients? Vaharotev, the rotev, the liquid that's there in the pot, though, Beno Saint Tam, that would have the same rule as 1 to 60. And although the gid is a barrier, so that doesn't affect, though, the flavor that imparts into the mixture. The mixture, the whatever comes out of the gid into this mixture, so that we're going to say is going to be bato. Then the Mishnah says, v'chein chaticha shel nevela. The same thing would be true. Whatever we said about the Gid Hanasha, cooked with other permitted gidim, would apply to a case you have a piece of nevela, animal that wasn't shechted properly, and it was cooked with similar pieces of kosher meat, slices of kosher meat, or let's say fish. You have fish, non-kosher fish, cooked with other fish. Bizman shemakira, and once again, if I recognize that which is prohibited, the nevela piece, or the non-kosher fish, so then I remove that, and beno Saint Tom, we assume that the if there was enough, once again, 1 to 60 of the nevela that would give a taste into the other pieces of the kosher slices of meat, or the non-kosher fish, the dog tamay, that was cooked together. So if you give a taste into the mixture, the whole thing, those pieces are going to be prohibited. But if it doesn't give a taste, they're not. But at least I can rely on Bittul because, as we said, I'm able to recognize the nevela or the chaticha of dog tamei. So that's what the Mishnah means. The chen chaticha shel nevela v'shel chaticha shel dog tamei shen is bashlu ima chatichos that were cooked together with the other pieces bizman shemakiron beno same time. If you recognize them, you take them out, and we assume that they give a time, then it's a problem. If not, so then I can have the other slices of meat or the other pieces of fish. Vimlav, but if not, meaning I don't recognize the dog tame in there. I don't recognize the slice of nevela meat. So then, kulan asurus, then all of the pieces are going to be asur, the harotev, but the liquid that's inside, the broth inside, that's beno Saint Tam, that's not going to be a problem. Now, the question here we should be asking is, why should the rule of Bittul not work here? I understand when it came to the Gid Hanasha, we said the Gid Hanasha is a full entity. So that's a barrier. A barrier is not batel. But why should it be that a chaticha of nevela or a chaticha of a dog tamei, why can't we say, even if I don't recognize it, why don't we say that it becomes batel in the majority of the other pieces that are there? So the Gemara explains, because the piece we're speaking about is known as a chaticha ha-ru'uya le-his-kabed. This is another exception to the rule of bittul. If you have a piece of food, a unit of food, a slice, which is ru'uya le-his-kabed, it is fit to honor a guest with, so then that has chashivas, that has importance, that has significance, and does not become batel. And therefore, that's what we're talking about here. The chaticha of the nevela, or the chaticha of a dog, is of a slice that is ru'uya lehiskabed, and therefore it does not become batel in the rest of the pieces that are there. So if I recognize it, I can take it out, and then I can rely on 1 in 60. But if I don't recognize it, so then it's going to prohibit all of the other slices that are there. But of course, just like the Gidanasha did, it prohibited the other sinews that were there. But the rota of the liquid is Beno Saint Tom. Perek Zayin Mishnah Vav. Noheg b'tahora ve'edo noheg b'tmea. Says the Tanakhama, the halach of Gidanasha applies to a kosher animal, but does not apply to a non-kosher animal. We'll see Rabbi Huda's dissenting opinion in a moment. He holds it applies to a tmei as well. So what's the basis of the Tanakhama's opinion that this applies to tahora and not to a tmei animal? So that's based on the following. First, we have to start by claiming that the Tan of this Mishnah must hold yesh begidin b'no Saint Tom. First way to interpret this Mishnah is that the Tan of this Mishnah holds that, in fact, the Gid is no Saint Tam, as we had in the other Mishnahs. And therefore, the Gid Hanasha is considered to be like a piece of meat, like a piece of meat that you normally would eat. So if that's true, then I understand very well why you would not apply to a non-kosher animal. Because that's based on the principle of Ein Isser Chal Al Isser. When you have something that's already a prohibition that already exists in something, so then you can't now superimpose another iser upon it. So when it comes to take our example here, if I have a non-kosher animal, so that also has a get on usha. So let's say it's a pig. So the pig has a sciatic nerve. The pig was already prohibited because of the law, because it's chazer, because it's usher. So I can't now, once you already have one iser upon yourself, you can now superimpose the iser of Gidan Usher. Now you may say, hold on 1 second, but when this pig, the Gidan Usher grew in the pig, nonetheless we assume that the iser of the meat, of the flesh of the pig as it was created, existed before the Gidan Usher grew and became usher, and therefore the iser of Gidan Usher cannot now exist when cannot be superimposed on the already existing prohibition of eating a tummy, a non-kosher animal. So that's why, according to the Tanakhama rather, it's noeg b'tahora, only with the kosher animals in Isser v'Gidan Usher, but not b'tmeya. There is another way to understand the Mishnah, that maybe the Tan of this Mishnah holds ein begidin b'no Saint Tam. It doesn't give taste at all. If that's the case, it's like a piece of wood, and yet the Torah prohibits it. So why would we say, we ain isser chal al isser? I understand when you're speaking about, okay, so the pig is already usser, that meat is usser, and now the meat, so to speak, the taste of the Gidan Usher cannot be superimposed on that isser. But if the Gidan Usher, you're telling me, is not considered meat at all, it's not considered, doesn't give any taste at all, so how do we understand that it wouldn't apply to a non-kosher animal? After all, take the pig as an example. What is, when we speak about the pig, what's usser? Only the edible parts of that pig. So that would mean that if I have a Gidan Usher, so the isser of basar tmeya, that applies to the edible parts. But the Gidan Usher is not an edible part. So why can't that extra isser of a Gidan Usher now be superimposed on the behemoth tmeya, on the non-kosher animal? It did not exist already before when it came to the Gidgis. It has no tom. And the prohibition of, let's say, eating the pig only applies to the edible parts of the pig, would not apply to the Gidan Usher. So if you hold it has a taste, so then you would say, well, the Gidan Usher is already usher because of why? Because of it's a non-kosher animal. And now you can't impose the Isra Gidan Usher on top of it. But if the Gid has no taste, so then the prohibition of the behemoth tamea never existed upon it. So now that you have the Isra of Gidan Usher, that should be able to be added upon it. So the answer, according to this, if you hold Ein beginning of B'no Saint Tam, the reason why the Tanakhama would say it does not apply to non-kosher animals is for a different reason. What does the Pasuk say in Parshas Vayishlach? Al kein lo yochlu b'nei Yisrael es Gidan Usher. What does it say? The children of Israel should not be eating the Gidan Usher. What does that imply? That implies that only the Gidan Usher should not be eaten. But the rest of the animal can be eaten. Meaning the Jewish people here have this injunction, the gid, prohibition of gidan asha. Oh, you're not allowed to eat. Jewish people can't eat the gidan asha. Special Israel can't eat the gidan asha. So what is that? That implies, but the rest of the animal is something that's edible. So if that, so that's the animal can be eaten. So what's the pasuk telling me? The gidan asha is only usur when the rest of the animal can be eaten. Then we say, don't eat the gidan asha. Don't eat the gidan asha, but you can eat the rest of the animal. But the animal itself is already usur, so then that pasuk doesn't apply. Gidan asha is only telling me that, oh, when the animal's permitted, just don't eat the gid. But if the animal can't eat it either, so then the gid is not going to have, there's not going to be an isser at all. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, I disagree. Af bitmea, Rabbi Yehuda says that the prohibition against eating the gid on Russia applies even to the gid of a non-kosher animal. Why is that true? In what way does Rabbi Yehuda argue on the Tanakhama? After all, we have to assume that Rabbi Yehuda holds yesh begid benose in tam, but then we should have isser ein isser chal al isser. Why can one isser be chal take effect on the other one? So Rabbi Yehuda explains his position, his rationale. Am Rabbi Yehuda, mahalom ibidei Yaakov nesar gid hanoshe v'adayin behema tamei muteres lahem. Says Rabbi Yehuda, there's a very simple reason why the gid hanoshe can apply to a non-kosher animal. And it's not an issue of having an extra ister being superimposed upon it. And that's because, where do we see the prohibition of gidan asha? It's written in Parshas Vayishlach. At that time, after the encounter with the Malach, with Sar Shalesav, after that wrestling match, is where the Torah speaks about the ister of gidan asha. And at that time, there were no laws of kashrus. We didn't have the Torah. It was before Matan Torah. So Behemet Tameah was going to be mutter. So when we speak about ein isser chal al isser, why would we say that does not apply here? So the Gemara explains on Daf Kuf Amid Beis that obviously the fact that this existed before Matan Torah shows you how stringent this halacha is. That Gidan Asher must be so strict that the Torah had to write it even before Matan Torah. If that's true, then the regular principle of ein isser chal al isser does not apply. An isser can be chal on another isser. If there's, I have a non-kosher animal, you tell me, no, you can't have the Gidan Asher prohibition be superimposed upon that. Why not? It's obviously very strict. It was written before Matan Torah. And therefore, he believes that since the Gidan Asher existed before the Torah was given in Har Sinai, obviously, there's a chumrah that exists. And now it therefore can take effect, even though there's the pre-existing isser of a behemoth. So Amulo, so the Chachamim said, it's really not correct. It's not accurate when you say, what do you mean the Gidan Asher was prohibition was given before Matan Torah, and that's why it's strict, and that's why Isser can be Chal on Isser. They said back to Rabbi Yehuda, Bisinai Namar, El Shenichtavim Komo, that prohibition of Al Kain Lo Yulchul Ben Yisrael's Gidan Asher, that maybe it was placed in Parshas Vayishlach because that's where the story with Yaakov and the Malach happened, but that's not where that prohibition comes from. That Isser was given in Har Sinai. It was just taken, and instead of placed in a later Parsha after Matan Torah, was placed in Parshas Vayishlach because that happens to be where the story is. But don't learn anything from the fact that that Isser was written before Matan Torah. Rabbi Yehuda's argument, v'halom b'bnei Yaakov nesar gidan asher. It's not true. This of gidan asher was not prohibited to b'nei Yaakov. It was prohibited only after the Torah was given. The fact it was written in Parshas Vayishlach doesn't mean it was usher to b'nei Yaakov. And therefore, the regular rule principle of ein isser chal al isser can apply. And that's why the Chachamim say that the Isser of gidan asher does not apply to a non-kosher animal. The Rambam has a rather famous interpretation of what the Chachamim Rabbi Yehuda are arguing about. According to the Rambam in his Pirush Mishnayos, he says that the Chachamim agree with Rabbi Yehuda that the Gidan Asher was actually prohibited in the days of Bnei Yaakov, after that story. So if that's the case, then they should agree with Rabbi Yehuda, obviously so strict, and therefore Isser should be Chal al Isser and it should apply even to a non-kosher animal. So the answer is no, because the Chachamim say it's true, although it did exist at that time, the fact that we abstain from eating the Gid Hanasheh, that's because it was given in Har Sinai, which means that, yes, the mitzvah existed before, but presently, why is it going? Why is it also? Because it was given at Moshe Har Sinai. Moshe Har Sinai heard again that issue of Kain Lo Yochlu Yisrael Gin Anasha, etc. There's a negative prohibition. The reason why we keep mitzvos is not because they may have existed before Matan Torah. So take, for example, Bris Milah. Bris Milah was given to Avraham Avinu. That's why we keep Bris Milah. No, the answer is no. We keep it because in Parshas Tazria it says, Uvayom HaShmini Yimol Basar Alaso. Why do we keep Evrim HaNachai? Because it was given all the way before Evrim HaNachai, the days of Noah. No, we keep it because it was given to Moshe at Har Sinai again. And therefore, to say that it's more, so Rabbi Yehuda says, the Isser of Avraham and Achai, or the mitzvah of Bris Milah, and the mitzvah of Gidan Asher. So he says those are an extension of what was given, or what was given to Yaakov. So if Gidan Asher is just an extension, obviously, at Har Sinai is an extension, was given to Yaakov, obviously it's something that's very chomer, because it was given to Yaakov all the way back, and that continues to exist, and now we even have more of the mitzvah because it's after Har Sinai, so therefore it's more chomer, it can be chal even on a pre-existing isser of a non-kosher animal. But the Chacham says it's not true. It may be that it's chomer because it was given to Bnei Yaakov, but nowadays it's not. It doesn't have that chumra anymore because we don't keep it. We don't observe it because it's given to Bnei Yaakov. We observe it because it's given to Moshe Har Sinai. And therefore, the regular principle of Ein Isser Chalal Isser can, in fact, apply, and therefore will not apply, according to the Chachamim, to a non-kosher animal.